The Beltway Blitz coming up in just a moment on the NFL, the Commanders, and your Capitals via conversation with defenseman John Carlson we're excited about. As promised right now, caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets to see the Caps next Thursday night against the Dallas Stars. The game's Thursday, October 17th, Capital One Arena. For tickets and the complete Caps schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. They get started on Saturday night this weekend. Speaking of which, let's go blitzing. To talk about the Capitals' 16th-year defenseman, John Carlson helps us kick off the Beltway Blitz. John, plenty of new faces, the first spending spree of an offseason in years. These are exciting times as you guys get ready to celebrate 50 years on Thursday night and begin the year on Saturday evening at Capital One Arena.
Yeah, definitely a different type of year, you know, coming into the season than I've been accustomed to. I think I've, you know, ever since I've been here, we've kind of been a status quo team, maybe adding a guy or two here or there. But, you know, this was definitely the biggest turnaround, whatever you want to call it. And I'm just real excited. I think we created a good foundation last year, and I hope with these new additions that I really feel like are going to make a huge difference in our success on the ice, play like they can. I think we're going to be a good team this year.
What do you think is going to be the biggest difference this coming year, John, versus maybe the last couple of years?
I think we're just a little bit, I don't want to say inexperienced, but a little younger, guys just kind of trying to find their footing, trying to find more enhanced roles, and I think guys did well with those roles, but obviously it's tough. It's tough in this league to just come in as a young guy and all of a sudden be a first-line center, second-line center, or a 30-, 40-goal scorer. So I think now we got a little bit more of an infusion of, like, middle of the age gap kind of guys that have been through it a little bit, have had great years, have had, you know, years of success, and kind of blending those with our young guys that are due for, you know, a big step forward as well. So I think that's kind of and also I think just starting out this way. I think the year last year kind of progressed in different ways than anyone kind of anticipated per se. And so this year is more, I would say, normal from, you know, start to finish, hopefully.
John, I won't make you go through all of the new faces. Frankly, we don't have enough time and give us thoughts. But, you know, offensively, Mangiapane and Pierre-Luc Dubois and adding a guy like Taylor Radish on the back end, Brandon Duhaime in the fourth line, that's exciting. But defensively, the guys you're going to be skating with at different points, presumably Jacob Chychrun a good bit of the time, Matt Roy and Martin Ferravari another line. What do you make of the two veteran defensemen that have come in here? I'm really excited about the group that's been built on the blue line.
Oh yeah, I think Chychrun's going to be a great addition. I think he's got some real flash to his game, some speed, some nifty hands, and he'll make a lot of great plays this year. And Matty Roy's just like, you know, you're the guy that you just wish you could be. Like, he's just a great player all around. He can do everything really great, and one of those guys, like, maybe you're not going to be on the highlight reel every single night, but when you're in the arena watching him, you're like, he hasn't made a bad play in 10 games. He's that type of player, and quality guys as well, them too, and I think they're going to add to it. I think, you know, and then like the guys you said up front, I think you're going to see a different team, a different style of play. I think we got a lot more Swiss Army knives this year that can kind of mold into different lines and different combinations that'll score us a lot more goals, hopefully.
John Carlson with us here on G&D. How about Jacob Vrana coming back and making the team? Cool story, huh?
Yeah, no, it's a crazy story. I'm proud of him. I know, you know, after the contract, talked to him today. It's great to see you. You always root for a guy like that you have so much connection to and feel like, you know, obviously I knew him very well, and but you're just rooting for those kind of guys that get it back on the rails and are clearly still as talented as when they left, and you know, hungry to prove people wrong. And I think that's where he is. He's a great kid. He brings a smile to the rink every single day, and I just love seeing him there.
John Carlson of the Capitals with us on Grant and Danny. They're getting ready to open their season Saturday night at Capital One Arena. More urgently, though, this week on Thursday, we're actually going to be out at Capital One Arena for a really neat event that the team has put together. They're celebrating 50 years of Caps hockey in the nation's capital.
50 years, man.
Caps 50 Fest. It starts on Thursday at 5 p.m. A lot of players, past and present, are going to be participating. There's events going on stage and activations in the concourse. There's a Third Eye Blind concert. It's going to be amazing. What do you make of the party that the Caps are throwing here in a couple of days?
I think it's fantastic. I think that, looking back on my career and how long I've been here and how long the team has been, it's pretty cool. And this event seems like the first class all the way around. I think it'll be exciting. I think as fans, the type of conversations that will happen, the interviews and whatnot will be fantastic. Hopefully some good jokes, some good stories from players past and present, and just, seeing the Stanley Cup again, having a great concert and having a lot of, kids activities for the younger ones too. I think it'll be all the way around a fantastic event.
You're a good guy to ask about this because I'm doing some rough back of the napkin math here. Just under a third of all cap seasons included John Carlson, right? If you go to 50 and this will be your 16th year. So you've seen a lot of change in a lot of different things. Just reflect on where this organization was when you first got here, where it is now. You can, weave in something about Ovechkin trying to break the unbreakable record here with Gretzky. It's just kind of cool that this is a nice milestone moment, and it's fun to look back.
I definitely think it is, and I kind of go back to, maybe I was a young buck at the time, a few years in, and everyone was like, oh, my God, the Caps are coming out with all this different, stuff, with 74 on it, sweatshirts, and it weren't just jerseys and stuff. I was like, no, the team was – founded in 1974. Has nothing to do with me. But yeah, it's 50 years, a long time. I think since I've been here, obviously, the ownership has been rock solid and committed to winning. And that's why you've seen such a great product on the ice, and the players that they've picked over the years, obviously, from management, have been spectacular and brought a Stanley Cup to DC, which was fantastic. I think it starts at the top and kind of trickles down, and we've had a lot of camaraderie, a lot of continuity over the years within the organization, and you see that with like events like this and who the guys that are coming back and how much it means to them to be a part of something like this, to celebrate the organization and specifically Ovi, how much he's meant to, not just the organization but the greater DC area, and how, he made non-hockey fans crazy for hockey, and kids that just love the game now and are playing it at record highs. I think it's all the way around a fantastic time to celebrate 50 years of hockey in D.C.
Speaking of Ovi, he needs 42 goals, Carly. You going to get it this year?
I always try to pick a different number every time I get asked this question. I usually try to go with, kind of one before, maybe 41, 42, tie it up. I'm going to go with 43, I think. If anything I've learned from this guy is to never count him out, and certainly he's going to need a good start to get there, but I'm just like everyone else, rooting for that to happen this year.
John Carlson with us on G&D. You were also talking about your work in the community. What's with the league that you started? I believe you got some youngsters playing hockey before they even get out on the ice now.
Yeah, so it's John Carlson Street Hockey League. It's just right now it's just in D.C., but we're going to be looking to move it into different places for kids that either have the hockey bug or are learning hockey. I think it's a great way, like I did, living in New Jersey when there's not that many rinks available at any point in time, and how close they are to people that just start outside. And I think it's a fantastic exercise. I think kids love it. My kids do it. It's fantastic for, just grabbing a few buddies and making your own team kind of intramurally in terms of the commitment level, which in a world of crazy sports for young kids, it's nice to have something that's kind of freewheeling and fun for them. And I'm just excited to have another thing in the community to deal with the kids and have some fun and hopefully make some more hockey fans.
John, I got to sneak one in here. Over your 16 years, it hadn't happened real often where the football team is any good, and they're off to a kind of a rip-roaring start, which is really unusual for us. We kind of don't know what to do with our hands. What do you make of it?
Well, yeah, it's kind of ironic. You guys know I'm a Patriots fan, so I've been through our whole relationship been really high on my team and rooting for, obviously I've always rooted for the football team in Washington as well. So it's a fantastic start to the season. I think it looks like the division is not as strong maybe as anticipated too, and what's not to love about the Commanders right now?
Yeah, it's good vibes, good times in town as you guys start your season Saturday night at home against the Devils. John, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much. It's great having you back on the show and looking forward to another fun and entertaining season of Caps hockey.
Thank you, guys. It's nice to be back with you.
Mike Jones of The Athletic joins us right now on Grant and Danny to talk about the NFL. Jonesy, we got to start with Robert Saleh, fired today by the Jets. How much of a factor was Aaron Rodgers in the decision?
Oh, probably like 99.975%. There was clearly not a good relationship there. Aaron Rodgers was taking little shots here and there. I mean, like when even a couple weeks ago when he was, you know, challenging Saleh to hold players accountable, and the way the team was prepared and everything. This was because Aaron Rodgers wasn't happy with Robert Saleh. And basically, the fact that Nathaniel Hackett survived and is still on the staff was completely because Rodgers is in control running this organization.
Why is San Francisco 2-3?
Well, they've had a lot of injuries. That's, you know, a big thing about it. They have good depth. And, you know, some areas they're better than a lot of teams, even with some of their backups, but they still don't have their full arsenal of guys. And I think things are a little bit out of sync. You can tell Brock Purdy, you know, there are times when he just needs to get rid of the ball. It's almost like he's trying too hard to make something out of nothing sometimes. And so I think that hurts him a little bit. I think they're going to wound up rounding into form, but that's the way things are for them right now.
Drake May is going to start for the New England Patriots against the Houston Texans on Sunday, reportedly. They've been waiting to bring the car out of the garage, and it seems like now is the time for New England. What do you make of the decision and the timing with Houston looming?
Interesting. I don't know if I would do it this week with Houston, you know, coming up. I don't know that Jacoby Brissett's the problem. Yeah, he's got limitations, but their offensive line isn't good. They have a lot of deficiencies. Maybe they're hoping that the young fella can bring a spark and kind of elevate everybody. You hope that they're not throwing him out there too soon, but supposedly the word out of the New England is that he's picking things up faster. He's doing better against the blitz. His footwork is good. But it's practice. So I imagine that it's going to be a rough time for him going out there for the first time, but I guess they're decided to do it. We're going to live with the growing pains and just continue to hopefully develop him on the job training and be ready for him having most of a season under his belt for next year.
I always think about this when we hear about the idea of like redshirting quarterbacks, as when you draft a guy high, it's almost impossible. And I don't think they should have redshirted him anyway, but he outperformed Brissett in the preseason pretty substantially. He was their best quarterback, and it wasn't closed in August. So really, regardless of practice, like, you've already seen that. You're putting the toothpaste back in the tube, and then the players know, right? I mean, so it is just hard to me. I don't know that this is the best week to play him. I probably would have done it differently and honestly played him against the Dolphins last week, knowing that that was going to be a low-scoring game you might be able to steal. But I always think about this when we hear every offseason, like, this guy should be sat for a year. Nobody is drafting a guy high and doing that. It's not happening.
No, and if you are going to do that, you have to be really creative and tailor down your offense. Don't overload that young guy and position him for success. You don't have to throw the whole kitchen sink out there. But, you know, if you are going to go with a young guy, be smart about it. And so if that's what they wanted to do, okay, we'll see what the offensive plan is for him. And you're right, players see it. And, you know, as long as he is getting the plays right in the huddle and knows where to go with the ball and can take care of the football, then okay. But like you said, this is a tough first opponent for him. I don't know if the decision-making is quite on point with this move right now at this timing.
Mike, thank you as always, man. Have a great week.
All right, see you guys.
We will see you, dude. There you go. Hit that local 53 sounder. Our guy Mitch Tischler joins us to talk about that local foosball team. Grant, question for you before I ask the question of Mitch. You and me are going to play a game, right? And we go one, two, three, shoot. What's that game called?
That's rock, paper, scissors.
Mitch, why'd you call it rock, scissors, paper?
Hey, listen, you guys can call it rock, paper, scissors all you want. It's rock, scissors, paper in my world. And I got to be honest, I was unaware of how ecstatic all of rock, scissors, paper Twitter was to tell me I was wrong.
Yeah,
it would be like saying the National League football, and then being like, "Why aren't you guys saying it's weird that
I have all three
it
words?"
The National League football, it's the same thing.
Listen, you have your sayings, I have mine. We can agree to disagree. I think it's a little different than National League football, but that's okay. You can feel that way.
All right, stick aside. We got a lot to get to. How long was the trip?
How long is the trip?
From your home planet. Like, how long did it take? Was there hibernation? Did you sit in a pod? Come on!
You said stick aside. I thought we were getting ready to do
That's the bait and switch. That's the bait and switch where I pretend there's no shtick, and then there's actually
shtick.
He sat
you down just to deliver one more blow.
That's like the super shtick lead up right there. They're 4-1. Are they beating the Raiders?
But seriously, give them one more.
But no, come on.
But seriously, scissors over paper?
I'm joking around. Where do you recharge your Android parts? Now, the question I have for you. This is actually a serious one. Are they going to beat the Ravens this weekend?
We could play a game of rock, scissors, paper to find out.
I don't know how to play that.
I've never played that. You'll have to explain how it works.
Yeah, what better way to start than now? Listen, I mean, this is a big step up in opponent for the Commanders. And, you know, we thought the Browns defense last week was going to be a big step up as well. And obviously that didn't really end up being the case as they were able to move the ball. Listen, we just saw the Ravens play an overtime 41-38 game against the Bengals. Pretty similar game that the Commanders played against the Bengals, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I think you have two teams that are coming in here and, you know, are playing pretty similar football. They give up a lot of points on defense, but they score a lot on offense and put pressure on the other team. You know, I think the Ravens are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and I think this will be a great litmus test to figure out where the Commanders rank in this pantheon of the National League football.
If they win, what are we going to be saying on Monday?
If they win, we're going to be saying that this team is a favorite for the Super Bowl and that Jaden Daniels is probably the leader for MVP in this league. Not offensive rookie of the year, MVP. And you know what? It would probably be rightfully so because it's been incredible watching what he's done so far this year. And it's for us, you know, we compare it to all the bad quarterback play that we've seen in Washington over the past 20, 30 years. But his play right now is comparable or better than some of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, he's had a better season statistically than Patrick Mahomes has. He's had a better season statistically than Josh Allen has. I think Lamar is the only guy that on paper has put up better numbers than Jaden. And it's tough to wrap our head around the fact that this is the type of player that we're talking about. But if he goes out and finds a way to get this team by Baltimore, I think that's absolutely going to be the conversation come Monday.
Putting you on the spot here a little bit, trying to thread the needle. Give me a player or two that hasn't done a ton yet, but you think is going to at some point. Maybe they have a five-game stretch where they break out or something coming up here at some point.
Yeah, I think Luke McCaffrey is primed for a breakout spot. There was a deep throw that Jaden made against the Browns when he had pressure in his face that he tried to throw deep to Terry. And had he just kind of rotated his body a little to the left, he would have seen Luke McCaffrey running wide open down the side of the field. But I think we're going to start seeing, you know, kind of the quote-unquote number two receiver, as much as that's been a discussion, you know, amongst, you know, media and fans with this team. I think we're going to start seeing some of these guys start to separate themselves a little bit. And I think kind of Noah Brown and Luke McCaffrey are the two that I'm kind of keying. Olamide Zaccheaus has done an incredible job so far. But I think Luke has a higher upside. And, you know, I think you look at some of the you know, when he doesn't have the ball, what Luke McCaffrey is doing. And I think you look at the Austin Eckler touchdown, McCaffrey's blocking all the way downfield, you know, holding those blocks for a long time. And the more stuff that you do away from the ball that shows up on film, the more the coaches are going to want to have you out there and give you opportunities. And I think Luke has a really good chance of breaking out here soon.
Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports. You know him as Mitch Rock, Paper, Scissors Tischler. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
I look forward to a rousing game of RSP in the Ravens press box.
anytime.
Dude, RSP is a great bet.
Any place, anywhere. Dan Quinn style. Paint it on a wall. See you, buddy.
Thanks, Mitch.
There's Mitch on our Beltway Blitz. What is the hottest take you actually believe about the Commanders? I think this could actually be a fun segment next. What are you willing to go on record and either predict or say about this team through 5 weeks right now? The hottest, most scalding take that you actually kind of believe. 800-636-1067. We will open up the phones on this next on Grant and Danny. The DMV's football team has a bright future. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Condori and Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. KMLawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's KMLawyers.com. In 30 minutes, Austin Eckler is on the show with us right here at 5 o'clock on G&D. The question for you, a couple of lines open. I think this should be fun. What is your hottest Commanders take, your boldest Commanders proclamation after 5 weeks that you actually believe? 800-636-1067. I'm going to give you a couple of examples.
Okay. Yeah, I have one like follow-up tweak question.
The first would be, Cliff Kingsbury will be the most sought-after head coaching candidate in the 2025 cycle. I think that's pretty bold, right? They could obviously take a big step back in the second half, as his teams offensively normally do. He was a head coach very recently. It didn't go well. But I think, you know, guys like Brian Flores are going to get a job. There's a lot of assistants out there that are trending in the right direction right now. I think Cliff Kingsbury will be the most sought-after head coaching candidate in the 2025 cycle.
That's a good one.
Another one I've got here. I said yesterday I thought the Commanders would win the NFC East. That works, by the way, still. Like, that's bold. They're not favored to. The Eagles are still supposed to. A lot of people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. What about this? The Commanders are good enough to make a deep playoff run. That's a hot take. That's crazy to say out loud. That's one of those things on October 8th that you say it with your chest, you look like a fool a couple months from now. But the hottest take I can give you right here this moment, Danny, that I kind of believe deep down is that this team is very much good enough to, and I could kind of see them stringing playoff wins together.
So when I drop my hot take that I actually believe, I'm not like going on record saying this is going to happen. This is almost like bold prediction-y type stuff where I'm going, this is well within the realm of possibilities and no one's talking about.
Yeah,
it. That's how I'm thinking of
this
it.
I could see this happening. It's not crazy, and the caveat is on the back end, You kind of think it might.
Yeah.
Like, see what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
I do.
I wouldn't predict it. I'm not putting money on it, but I kind
of
think it
might. So I got a couple of those. If you'd like to hear them, here, go.
Here we go.
Number one, you're looking at a Coach of the Year finalist. That's Dan Quinn. His hat's going to be on backwards when he accepts. Right there. It'll be him. It'll be Kevin O'Connell. A couple other guys. When you inherit a hot garbage fire that won 4 games all last year, then you went ahead and tied that win total through 5 weeks, you're on the radar. You will be the darling of the league. He's a Coach of the Year finalist. That is my first hot take. Similarly, Jaden Daniels will be an MVP finalist. Jaden Daniels is going to finish in the conversation for MVP. I don't believe he'll win it. Somebody else is going to, just because that's how it goes, but he will be a finalist for the MVP.
Top three, then.
He'll be a top three finisher.
Right now, he's fifth. What's bold about that is you've got him getting closer to the top,
yes,
not further away.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good. I'll give you one more. This one's a deeper cut. Tyler Biadasz right now should be the front runner for first team all pro at center. I think he's been that good. Tyler Biadasz has been whooping butt and taking names. No penalties. Pressures are scarce. He's gotten everybody lined up correctly and helped Jaden Daniels, a young quarterback with a lot of protections and things. I think Biadasz is one of the best players through 5 games that rarely gets talked about on this team right now. You got one more before we hit the phones? 800-636-1067. We're getting to you now.
This defense will finish just outside the top 10 in nearly every meaningful metric.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, if that happens, not only are they winning the division, but they're nobody's going to want to see them in January.
They are marching up the rankings. So they won't finish top 10 in things, but you're going to look up and go, did you notice that? Because their start was so bad that no one's going to think about it this way. But they're going to be in the low teens in a number of meaningful categories.
Oh, when the Skins come marching in. Oh, when the Skins come marching in.
I want to be in that number.
There's another song about them that I'm trying to remember.
There it is. Yeah. Barbershop style. Fight for
How
our commanders.
How many wins do they have? How many wins do they have right now?
Four.
How many losses do they have?
One.
Hit the damn music, Darius. Play it loud. Play it proud. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. JaVale is in Culpeper on G&D. What's up, bro?
Grand Danny, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Chilling, man.
So I've been real quiet. On the first 5 weeks. But my hot take is this. If we can go into Baltimore and win, and as I was telling Darius, we don't even have to win. If we're competitive and say Justin Tucker hits a 56-yard field goal with 3 seconds left or in overtime and we lose, I'll still take it because I'm a firm believer. It takes a solid month of the season, a quarter of the season, to see what teams are due to the fact that a lot of teams don't play their starters. So I looked at the first 3-4 weeks for Bobby Wagner, Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen. I looked at that as their preseason. And we have seen the defense has gotten better week after week after week. And that is Dan Quinn's that's his thing, is his defense.
Totally.
I think Cliff Kingsbury has done a great job with Jaden Daniels. But what we have seen in the first 5 weeks, you cannot underestimate that what we have seen with Jaden Daniels has never been seen before. It's never been seen before.
It's amazing. He's the first rookie quarterback ever through five games to have 1,000 passing, 250 rushing. But to the question, JaVale, so your hot take that you believe right now, the boldest thing you're willing to say today is?
Yes. If we go to Baltimore, win on competitive, we are a top three team, and we are a Super Bowl contender.
A Super Bowl contender, Danny. And you know what's wild? If they beat the Ravens and they're 5-1, JaVale's right. They'll be at worst one game behind the pace for the best record, on the precipice of the number one seed in the conference. You don't get any awards for that. You don't get a piece of candy given to you for that through six games. But if you beat Baltimore, not even a great Ravens team, just a team that's the next one and a good one, and you're 7-point underdogs, they're going to have every bit as good a chance as anybody, as of right now, to play in a Super Bowl. Let's go to Duncan in Gainesville.
Wow.
I hope you're ready to make two trips to New Orleans this year, because we're going in December to see the Commanders and the Saints, thanks to our buddy Christian Pendleton. I might have to get Christian on the horn to make sure we're lined up for our second.
Do we have budget for the second trip?
Let's make sure that he's keeping some of his ducks in a row, just in case we got to go back for the second one. Let's go to Duncan in Gainesville. Hey, buddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Yeah, man.
My hot take is I think that the NFL is actually scared of playing the Commanders. And just as we as a fan base have suffered for like a generation, it's so hard being a Washington fan, I think the rest of the NFL has taken us for granted. And now there's a lot of payback coming. I, for one, would like to see us drop a 63-7 against the New England Patriots for what they did to Gibbs.
I've held on to it. I love that.
Still thinking about a game against the Joe Gibbs-led Redskins.
My boys and I, we did. This is totally true. This is back when everybody cared. We did a sleepover at my pal's house. We all chipped in. We got an omelet chef for that game. Okay? We all had a big watch party, and we lost 63-7. The omelet chef just stood there for an hour after we'd all eaten every omelet we possibly could eat. Everyone was stuffed of omelets, and he just had to be there for another hour while we were all miserable when we got destroyed 63-7. We owe those sons of bitches.
The secondary will be a top 10 unit the rest of the season, according to Gene on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. You want to hit us up. Got another one here from Jeff, who says Steelers Commanders game in week 10 gets flexed. That's not bold enough. Jaden Daniels ends up the best quarterback in the NFC this year via Austin. What is your hottest Commanders take that you kind of believe right now? Tom's in McLean on G&D. How are you, Tom?
All right. Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Love your show. This is the hottest take on the Commanders. Jaden Daniels will go down in the history of Washington Redskins, Commanders, the football team, as the greatest draft pick ever, period.
Well, if he continues to play at the level that he is and he strings MVP awards together and they start getting to NFC championship games and Super Bowls, then you're on to something. By the way, Dan Orlovsky on television on ESPN yesterday, I mentioned this, but he said that Washington will make Super Bowls because of Jaden Daniels.
And he did that right on the end.
Yeah, there was a plural, like an S on the end of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Mahomes effect is what he's suggesting, where you got the guy, so now you get to go to Super Bowls. The Burrow Bengals thing. That is basically what he was saying. A couple calls ago, he said teams are scared of Washington. I don't know if they're scared of playing them as a entity altogether, but they're certainly scared of this this offense if they're a defense. How could you not be? They are the number one scoring team in the NFL. 155 points. By the way, the Ravens are second. 147. Bring on Sunday, please. Andrew's in Alexandria. What's up, Andrew?
Oh, my God. I'm so happy to get taken on. I've never gotten a phone call taken, but... long story short, he's already sealed up Rookie of the Year, as long as he doesn't, you know, screw up or get hurt. But I think he's really got a shot at, you know, no legend lasts forever. So the Jim Brown thing is the rookie MVP, I think, is seriously in discussion if he keeps up. I mean, the man's good. And one last thing I want to say is my father was in the Redskin band for years, all the way through the RFK ending, and he's very ill in the hospital right now. So to Frank Seckler, God bless you, sir. Thank you for your time. You know, we remember the Neil Okowitz, Monty Coleman, Dave Butts, all those days. I think they're back, guys. I think they're back.
We appreciate you for the call. A first-time caller.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
And I hope all is well with
wishing
your pops.
Him well.
Hopefully a big game on Sunday makes him feel a little bit better. Certainly the last month hasn't hurt with the locals going 4-0 and blowing people out a couple of straight weeks. But he said he's already wrapped up Rookie of the Year. That's bold because there's so much football left. Three quarters of a season. Caleb Williams was great, had 300 yards and a few touchdowns this weekend. You have a few of those, all of a sudden your passing numbers are going to move past Jaden's, and now we start doing the, well, but Daniels, you got to add the rushing, and it just becomes closer. Bo Nix, I don't think he's in the conversation, but
he played
really, really well, and they've won two of their last three. Obviously, Malik Nabers didn't play with a concussion, but prior to that, he was on pace for one catch fewer than the NFL record.
But it wouldn't be crazy that Daniels would have to miss a game or something. I mean, you know, too much happens.
They're just rest starters for all of December, something like that. If they did that, then what do you do, right?
Man.
You got to start considering these things.
Mm-hmm.
You may have forgotten, Danny, they didn't play in the fourth quarter.
No, they didn't.
At all.
Would have been nice to accumulate some more stats.
Did you go for the Heisman where you just keep playing Jaden Daniels in the fourth quarter, or is he only playing three quarters against everybody else's four quarters? I mean, these are some of the problems that he may have in
his issues you run into.
I think it was 52 that you had a rookie MVP in Jim Brown. Does that year sound right?
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't tell you one or the other, but yeah.
Jim Brown, the only rookie to ever win MVP, and I believe it was 52. It was early 50s. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Christopher?
What's going on, gentlemen? I have a couple of hot takes. One, not so hot. This is like a jalapeno hot take. Not so hot, but the gold pants, those are straight fire, guys. But a little bit hotter take that I think is going to be tough for one Grant or Danny to swallow is that the more wins, the less complaints we're going to get about the dumb stadium and the dumb name. And we're going to be stuck with them for a little bit longer than I think you guys like.
Well, the
stadium
is already, they've basically said, going to be the stadium until they open the new one in 2030. Are you saying you think it goes beyond that? Like they start taking their time even more than they already have?
No, Josh Harris can walk and chew gum, but I'm saying, like, we're going to stop hearing people complain about the stupid stadium when it's sold out and Jaden Daniels is throwing 41-yard bombs to Terry McLaurin every Sunday.
So you know what's funny about that, Chris? And I have not asked many people, but my wife went to the game, longtime season ticket holder, on Sunday. And I asked her what it, you know, how it was, and it was just rave reviews. Oh, we had so much fun. It was amazing. Our tailgate was the biggest it's been in years. They used to have 50 people in 2012. It's been down to like four of them sitting around in like, I'm not even doing a bit, by the way. It's the saddest thing ever when like four people are in little folding chairs, you know, eating bags of chips or whatever.
Yeah, they might as well be camping.
But they had a picture of like another dozens of 40, 50 people at this tailgate they were doing. She had a blaster in the game. All they did was watch long home run passes and touchdowns and a lot of points. And the only like thing she texted me during the whole game that was like a complaint was like, there was no paper towels in the women's bathroom or whatever the one little thing was. But my point is, I didn't hear one time about the stadium being terrible.
Yep.
I didn't hear that the X, maybe Northwest Stadium is just awesome. Like FedEx Field was awful. We all know that. FedEx Field stunk. But this new stadium that they built, this new ownership group built, Northwest Stadium is a really, really good stadium.
It's a fine place. Nothing but wins there.
What's your hottest Commander's take that you kind of believe? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Austin Eckler is on the show in 10 minutes at 5 o'clock here on Grant and Danny. You can stream us wherever you are on the Odyssey app. Pause and rewind the show. Listen around D.C. on 106.7, in Richmond on 910 or 105.1. Watch us on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream. Can't wait to talk to Eckler. That segment has been just a blast, and people love it. He's great. He's as good a regular as we've had on this show in our 10 years together. Fired up to talk to him at 5. Right now, we're asking you, what is your hottest Commander's take that you actually believe, as they are 4-1? Brad in D.C., what do you got?
Yeah, what's going on, Grant and Danny? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
I like this show. I love this show. This is my favorite show on the radio.
Thank you, sir.
That means a lot. Thanks.
Yeah. Brad, yeah, he's going to win the MVP. And I know the caller said it before, but he's going to win the MVP. That necessitates us being really, really good. And he's just special. He's just special. He's so fast. He makes every throw. He's super accurate. He makes every throw where the throw is supposed to be. He's just so special. And we should all be grateful to witness this.
Well, so far, it's just breathtaking. I don't think he'll win the MVP. But the fact that you can say it and mean it, and it's a legitimate thing. He's fifth in sports books. Odds right now at some places. Fifth. Top five in the league as an MVP candidate. I mean, that is astounding. And it's a real thing. I get it. It's a good call. Dave in Woodbridge, what's good?
Hey, guys. Little different spin. So mine is just relief because I feel we have our next Bobby Bethard. It's what I've wanted for over 30 years. Somebody that knows how to judge talent. And my little 1B, since no one's mentioned it, is, hey, don't look now. We have a kicker.
Yeah, especially if he never has to kick longer than 45. He'll be automatic. I still don't know if he's any good, but he makes every extra point from 33, and he makes all the field goals from around 40.
Yeah, there was a college game this past weekend, by the way, I happened to be tuning into, where a kid kicked a 59-yarder. I'm going, it's even in college at this point where they're this good. But that's a good one. But in terms of Peters, vis-a-vis Bethard?
Adam Bethard.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the best players, it's the right players. And I know that's so cliche, but you find guys that fit more important necessarily than the guy with the most talent.
I always wanted a great talent evaluator. What I just needed was a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
I'll worry about how good they are later, but give me the correct structure. Like, you could have hired a GM, and it could have been the wrong hire, and he wasn't very good, but at least you had a GM. Peters built an incredible front office. Such a good group with Newmark and Sosna, and the guys that he put together in that front office. It's one of the best in the sport, one of the most beloved, kind of, from outsiders who know who's young and sharp and ascending. They really, really like what he built, and the proof's in the pudding with the players that they brought in this offseason. Luke and Wardoff, you're on Grant and Danny. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? I love the show. Listen, I want to help Danny out with this name because I know he's still teetering back and forth. This name is a problem because it's a bold name. We never had anybody in the building who can command. We've always been average or below average, and we've been sucky ever since. So now that we have somebody to command it, it's starting to fit. So
I think this might win you over, Danny.
Hold on, let the man finish.
It just took this call to win him over, Luke. You did it.
I think it is. And my bold prediction is not only are we going to beat the crap out of the Ravens, we're going to be number one in the East. And I think the Commanders fans need to stop being passive, stop booking your hotel, at least reserving it, because we got somewhere to go come Super Bowl time. Ooh, love you guys.
Hey, by the way, Luke.
Thank you, buddy.
Left hand up. Who are you?
Oh, it's a shame he dropped off.
That's too bad.
Would have been able to respond to that. Whatever that is.
So did he convince you that the Commanders is actually a great name?
No, he didn't. And I appreciate the effort, though. We're doing all sorts of things to justify it in our minds. By the way, the battle is over. I'll tell you that right now. My forces have retreated, and we are regrouping.
I don't know if the war is over, but you have lost the battle.
Yeah.
We
got our hind parts kicked, and we are in full retreat. And I'll take it, by the way.
Commanders is here to stay.
You win some football games. You beat people in primetime. You don't embarrass me. Call yourself whatever you want.
The name thing is so weird, though.
Yeah.
I tweeted something yesterday, and I said the Commanders. I don't remember what it was. Let's say it was a stat. I said the Commanders are 4-1, whatever. And some guy goes, why are you selling so hard for the new name? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're using Commanders. I said, it's the name of the team, dummy. Like, what do you want me to say, sir? Washington? Always use Washington? First of all, that sounds weird. Am I talking about the Huskies or the Commanders? But also, I'm just using the team's name. When they name themselves something else, I'll use that too. That's kind of where I'm at on it. But he's like, why are you using the name? Because that's what they are?
Yeah, why are you calling me by my name? Because that's my name? Yeah.
The whole thing is strange.
Yeah, the whole thing's dumb.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Austin Eckler joins us next live right here on the Fan.